Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and flute. Praise Him with clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I didn't know Toddy was speaking this morning on praise. You did? Well, there's a lot of praise in it. And the joy and the bridegroom and everything. And just sort of tally suited what I was sermon tonight, picking up on this life, seeking life in dead places. Any minute now, we're going to have this work. Where's everything, Steph? Here?
Yeah. That was there?
Yeah. That's good, okay. Just going to get all this technology. We're techno freaks in here, aren't we? It's a heaven. Okay, so I'm looking at nightclubs and festivals. And I've titled this Dancing Your Life Away. I mean, I know some of you people in here might have been in the first sort of stage of music that blasted in the 60s and the Beatles and all that, and then it moved forward into the punk era and the mods, and yeah, I think I looked at that before. But nightclubs and festivals, I grew up in the 1990s, well, I grew up in the 80s, but I grew up in the 90s was my dancing scene, 1990s to 2000, the rave years. And in those days, everybody followed the DJ in the nightclubs and in the venues, and we had raves in the park, we had raves everywhere actually, and they just sort of broke out spontaneously. You know, you get a phone call and all of a sudden a whole mass of people would be heading towards a rave. And there was a famous film came out in my time, Kevin and Perry Go Large. And this is about a couple of dudes that wanted to really change their lives and be part of the scene, and they wanted to go to the nightclubs, the dancing, and get the girls and fit in. And really, these two guys were never going to fit in. And when I was dressing in the 1990s, that's kind of how we dressed for the night. You had the hat on, you had your Stussy t-shirt on, you had your black boots on, and that was you ready to go out for the night. It was a night of seeking euphoria. It was about feeling. It was about the event, about who was going to be there, how good you were looking, how good they were looking. It was about who you were with, who was the hippest. And I'm sure this goes down the decades as well, back to the other times I mentioned, but that's what it was all about. It was about bringing fun. It was about, you know, everybody coming together. And, you know, a lot of the stuff and substances that were taken at this time, the love drug and everything, was about, you know, it was amazing how those kind of drugs worked to bring everybody together. I can remember going to nightclubs in Northern Ireland, and two buses would show up. You'd have what I would call the prod bus section coming up from North Down or whatever, and then you would have the other buses coming from West Belfast, and you know, they'd be fighting on the way in, and then they'd all have the love drug, and everybody'd be happy and lovely inside, and they'd all be shaking hands, and everybody'd be dancing on the end. This is great. And then the next thing, you know, come 2 o'clock, and the drug had worn off. By the time you hit the car park, there's war going on in the car parks. So we call it the love drug. Now in my years, this is like a little life story for me, because I got a good one for me. In my days, Ibiza was the big thing. Not so big anymore, but this has moved on. But Ibiza was the big thing. And you had a club called Amnesia. Paradis is actually the way it's spelt, for those that's going to correct me later. We have Resurrection, Ascendia, and Kelly's Port Rush, which is where we, all us Northern Irish people, went to Kelly's Port Rush. And I'm going to give you just a little taste of the kind of music that I once listened to. Now, for you guys of a sort of, you know, not feeling too good. Now, I've tried to bring you one a wee bit, you know, less dramatic. I'm going to play it for about a minute. Nice as well, this is the music starting to kick in, you know, you're starting to... I'm the one who's the dominator. When I came on, you thought you were the dominator. giving it all up there. And then you get the words, and then this is the height of the night. This is like 12:30. Things are ticking in the club. This is what it was all about. That's it. That was the attitude you had. You never hear it again in Shiloh. But yeah, that is what. Now, for you guys that have never been in a nightclub, I don't know if you ever have, but that's what it was. And it was about the music, and it was about the feeling, and it was about the coming together. And when songs like that came on, everybody had their own song and their own idea of what the night was going to be. And the thing about nightclubs is that the DJ became the idol. And I'm going to be working, hopefully this is the lead up to where I'm going to, but the DJ became the idol. Happy Pills were taken quite a lot of. They helped contribute to that. He was in charge of everything. He was in charge of the way you felt, the way you acted, your mood. He could change everything by the music. And how he moved the music up and down created the euphoria that existed within the club that everybody was going to. And certain clubs were more successful, like Cream in Liverpool, or you had Gatecrasher in Newcastle. All these clubs were the places to go, and thousands and thousands of people would go to these places weekly. And it was all about the DJ. The DJ was the most important person. People like Tall Paul and all these guys that were making millions and millions of pounds out of this. So he became the main man. Now, the thing about him was he was able to control the music, control the atmosphere, control the crowds, and control the mood. This is what it was all about. He was the man that was able to manipulate your feelings, your thoughts, and how everything was going to go. And whenever you were coming to a nightclub, you were going with great expectations. You were going with what was going to happen, how it was going to turn out, you know, what you were going to do afterwards, where the party was. Everything was planned. And no matter what your life was like or where you were, this is how it was. This is what you were going to do. We did this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at university for 7 solid years. And I was a good boy.
Right.
I went for the music. But this is what we did, and it became your life. And this is what we lived for. That was it. Nothing else really mattered. Now, to connect to this, I want to look at one thing here. Oh, I don't know what it meant. That's too, the writing's too light. But the thing about this is that nightclub and the raving scene and everything moved from that, nightclubs, into the sort of the big outdoor festival. So you've Glastonbury here, and Glastonbury's become the big one in Britain. It's become the one where, you know, you get the top bands, the top DJs, everybody goes to it. You live in a tent, you get mucky, you listen to music, and you do all the things that you would have done in clubs, but you do it in the festival. And things like Glastonbury, people don't realise that Glastonbury's got a lot of stuff attached to it, about its situation, about its history, how it's grown up. It was a farm that was used. People even say that Joseph of Arimathea is supposed to have introduced the Glastonbury thorn. I mean, it's ridiculous nonsense. But you have all the hype about it. Now, that's just one festival. The one I want to look at tonight is this one, the Burning Man. And this is a big thing. It happens in America now once a year. And what happens is, in the Burning Man, it's all about self. It's all about self. It's all about man's pleasures. It's all about what you can get from this festival. And it lasts for 2 weeks. And what happens is, people go to this festival and they build cities. Or like little micro cities. You build little structures, or you build works of art. And all sorts of people are going, and different types of people, and they're all gathering, and they're all doing this self-pleasing and pleasurable stuff. And the summer solstice, at the end of this, they have this big, massive structure that's meant to be an image of a man. And for some unknown, bizarre reason, they burn it. Now, the reason I'm highlighting this is because it's become more than that. This has become more than just a festival. It has now an organisation. There's 10 principles attached to it. These are the 10 points, but everything's about yourself, about self-reliance, self-expression, the communal effort. It's about gifting, which is, for I looked this up. Say you're here and you've no food. Well, under the 10 principles, you have to go up, recognise somebody that has no food, and just give it to them without them asking. And it's called gifting. And it's all about participation, about intimacy with each other, your self-reliance, which sounds a bit contradictory, but that's what they do. And it's becoming a big thing. And the ethos of this is the living heart of a community. It's all about the consciousness together, collective memory. It's all about self, how they build this up. And it's a spiritual-led thing, I really believe. It's a very occultish thing now. And they're looking, it's crazy. It's a crazy week of self-expression, self-reliance, communal madness. And, I mean, if you want me to go a step further to what I would say, is that it's virtually a worship of pagan roots, of false gods, but it's becoming a big, big thing. And so people go into these festivals, and like last month, I mean, they're getting roped up and roped into, you know, all this self stuff and self-satisfaction, and they're all following one kind of thing. This is all based around this burning man. And I went a wee bit further and looked at this, and they're actually waiting for this person to appear, like a man's going to come one day and lead them into these wondrous ways. Crazy, crazy stuff. Now, this actually happens every year. And when I was preparing my talk, at the same time, I was thinking about this. This is the golden calf in Exodus 32. Now, if you know anything about this, is that whenever Moses was up the mountain receiving the tablets which God had written his law on, two tablets, Ten Commandments, the children of Israel were down. And Moses had said back down, the children were kind of, or children, the people of Israel were getting a bit bored of waiting. They were waiting around for Moses coming down. He hadn't showed up. They were getting a bit impatient. And so they decide that they want to build themselves a golden calf. And it's created by man. Aaron was there. He allowed them to go and collect gold earrings. They put it all together. They built this idol. Created for man. They danced before it. They said that this was their God that led them out of Exodus. They made a feast to it. They prepared sacrifices. There was an altar there brought before it. And this became a sin to Israel. Because what they did was they put the very first three commandments that God had told them not to do. You have no other God before me. You know, do not have an idol. They took what God had said and completely ignored it, made the calf, and believed that this was the God that they worshipped. And so they danced to it. They were having great fun. They were worshipping it. They were doing all the things that I've talked about that happens in raves and happens in that last festival I was looking at. And they decided that this was going to be the reason they were going to have joy in their heart, the reason that they were going to celebrate. All these things were because of this daft golden calf that they had made. And of course, God's anger at what was happening, and he sent Moses back down the mountain because God wanted to destroy the people for their sin. It's serious, serious stuff when we decide to put something else before God or to offer other things, our joy and our worship and our praise and offer our dancing and all of that. We're putting it all to something else instead of God, and God does not like that in any shape or form. So very briefly, looking at nightclubs. Nightclubs, what's the outcome? You've got an expectation of going to a nightclub. You're going to have a good night. Maybe meet, if you're free and single, maybe meet some new chicks. I think we used to call them chicks. I was never interested in chicks when I went to a nightclub, and I can rest assured it was the last thing in my mind. I was going out to have a good time with the lads. But, you know, you had your expectations of what it was going to be. And then you have, who were you dancing to? Well, you were dancing to somebody else to impress them. Like me, I used to lie in front of speakers for hours, didn't know what went on until I left the club. I think that's why I get the ringing in my ears now. But the thing about it is, when the night's over, when the feelings have gone, when the DJ's wrapped up and went for home, the feelings disappear. You start to come on what's called a come down, or whatever it is you want to describe it as. Whenever you leave, you go to the after party, things are chilling out, you know, the sensations have all gone. Maybe talk about what happened, who was the good, who was the bad, blah blah blah. And I have to say honestly, and I think I've maybe told Taddy a few times, when this used to happen to me and I'd be in the nightclub and I'd go to the night party afterwards and you're on the serious, you're hitting reality time, I would seriously consider what I was doing and why I was doing it. And I would consider, why am I going to nightclubs and these raves? I'll tell you a funny story, a bit like the first Kevin and Perry. When I landed in university, I walked in through the front doors and I had to register. I didn't know anybody in Dundee whatsoever. I knew nobody. It was new beginnings for me.
And I saw a guy, and I had finished, and I turned around, I seen a guy, and I thought, oh please, the only person I knew. And I tried to hide, and all I heard was, Mooney! And I went, are you signing up for architecture? No. Are you sure? Well, I might be doing the course, great. I'll meet you at 6:30. Right, okay. I'd never been in Dundee in my life, really, so I met him. We went to a nightclub, or no, a rave, out in this country, out in Dundee somewhere, I have no idea what it was. We got a lift out to this place, a big field, a big tent was there, the music went on, everything. I had a great night. Next morning, everything was off, everybody disappeared, and me and, it was like Kevin and Perry, I was down there with Garth, I said, like, where are we? Where's our stuff? Where's our bags? We don't know where we live. And we went to this crazy all-night rave. And that was the start of what I was to do. And the reason I'm bringing you this is because I would consider quite often, when I'd finished the night and done everything else, I'd be walking home. And as I go to where I lived, there was a big, massive church. And it always started at 11 o'clock because I would be coming, walking home by that time. And I would quite often go and stand in the doorway of that church and listen to what was going on and listen to the music. And I'd be very prompted to go in, but knew I couldn't go in. Knew I wouldn't want to go in. But I knew in my own head, in my heart, what was going on in there was a far better experience than what was going on inside my heart and what I was doing. And so quite often, I would be walking past that church thinking, what's going on in there? Because I was seeking life in the dead places, realizing that the life was to be found in God in those churches. So, Psalm 150, Taddy read this, and it's very important because I'm not trying to dismiss worship or praise or singing or dancing, I'm trying to encourage it. Psalm 150 talks about praising the Lord with trumpet, with the harp, and with the flute. These are all instruments that we should be using to praise the Lord. And so instead of praising Him in the dead places that I once praised Him, I'm now praising Him in here with the guitar and with the piano. I'm now praising, I see people lifting their hands in here. This is very like what I would have been doing in the old places, but now I'm doing it in the new place. Now I'm doing it to worship God. Everything I'm trying to do now is to please God. My worship has a purpose, that I worship and praise God because I know He's my Creator, that He loves me, and that He guides me. And so my heart is filled with His Spirit and with His joy, rather than the joy I created myself when I went to nightclubs. And so here's the two images tonight. This is the club that I would have went to, the idea, you know, flashy lights and come in here and have a good time. This is where the world wants you to go to. And I know this is the Hamilton Road for those of you with a very cute eye, but it's something I could find with a nighttime image to it. I'm not encouraging you to go to Hamilton Road. It's just a very flashy image. But the church is the place now, and it's not just about the church, of course, because that's where we gather, but the praise and the worship that I'm getting here now, I would give so much more. I honestly regret all the times I spent in a nightclub. For 7 years I passed the door of a church, and for 7 years I walked past it. I used to pretend I was getting the papers. I got caught on once. So what are you doing over there? I said, oh, I'm going to get the papers. I said, you're at the wrong shop. And I went, oh, I swear I am. You know, I used to pretend that I wasn't interested, but all along the time I was interested in seeking God. So tonight I want to encourage us, and I know there's not many here tonight that we'd be going to a nightclub, but rather than seeking after the dead things in this life and wanting to put our praise into things that would do us no good, worship and things like the golden calf, which I know we don't do, hopefully, and all that kind of stuff, we're putting it aside and we're saying our heart and our worship is towards God and God alone, that we're going to dance in His presence. Because, trust me, on my own I dance. Not in here. I'm a bit more reserved when I come to Shiloh. But in my own time I will dance, or I will lift my hands up, I will praise God. I've only been here 15 years. It's going to take me 15 more years before I lift my hands up in public. But you know, when the service ends, when the music used to end in the nightclub, that was it. You hit the downer. But when the service ends in here tonight, and after the last song, when I'd be singing the last song in the car, and I'd be talking to Ruth about what happened tonight, and I'll go to bed with thoughts of all the good things that have went on. And I'll wake up tomorrow, and I'll remember today, and it'll carry me through my week. And that is the difference about praising God, because He's with you. You know you've praised a real God, and you're praising Him for a reason. So to have God in our lives is a reason for living. It's a reason to have joy, and it's a reason to serve Him and to praise Him with every breath
that we have, with every breath that we take, let us praise the Lord. Let's just pray. Father God, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for Psalm 150 and for what it means and for what it instructs us to do. Let us be a people in here tonight full of praise and full of worship, and wanting to really, really sing our hearts out to you, even wanting to dance to show you, Lord, our thankfulness and the joyfulness that we have in our hearts because of what you have done for us, the life you've given us, and the expectancy, as Taddy spoke this morning, of one day being with you when the bridegroom comes for his bride, the church, and we will spend eternity with you. And Lord, I just see that as being a time of complete and utter joy and dancing and praise and worship for all eternity. And I pray, Lord, that we can't even begin to imagine, but Lord, one that we look forward to. Lord, let us all have joy in our heart as we leave this tonight and go through our week. Lord, no matter what we come across or hit with, let us always remember, Lord God, that we are praising and loving and worshipping you, Lord Jesus. We just thank you for that. Amen.